Well, praise the Lord. What a blessing it has already been, as I said earlier, but even more so now. And what a music has ministered to my heart and spirit. I trust it has yours as well. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and look with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to be reading verse 4 down to verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2. If you're able to stand, we would ask you to stand as we read the Word of God together this morning. What we have before us is the very words of God. And Almighty Creator God has written down and preserved exactly what He wanted us to have. And what a blessing it is to know that we have the very words of God here. In 2 Peter chapter 2, let's start reading here in verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Wow. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you at this time, and God, what a blessing it has already been just being in church since your presence in this place. And now, God, we've opened up your holy word, and we've read this passage of scripture that I believe that you have a message for each and every one of us to receive today. So I pray, God, that you help us to focus on what you have for us. I ask you that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. 2 Peter, much like 2 Timothy, was written with the end-time apostasy in view. Want to study and see what God has revealed to us about the end times and what's taken place with apostasy. Two of the greatest books in the New Testament helps us to understand this. This apostasy is traced back to false teachers. And 2 Peter in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and then after what our text is, we're going to be reading some of that too, but look what it says here in verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be, and there is, false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, the believers, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So that's what we read before our text. And then after our text, we find in verse 14, continuing with this understanding of false teachers bringing in this apostasy, having eyes full of adultery, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with a man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Wow. So here we find that Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, writes this for us, New Testament Christianity. Peter presents a needed warning of judgment to come. The reality of judgment is a deterrent to bad behavior. I trust we understand that. The reality of judgment, not just the warning or the threatening of judgment, but following through with it. The reality of judgment is a deterrent to bad behavior, and it also works as an encouragement for others to do right. I believe we have this in the scriptures that helps us to realize we need to do right. When we realize that final judgment, not in the judicial system of the world, but in God's eyes, when we realize that final judgment will not be according to man, stop focusing on man. But the final judgment is going to be according to a righteous God. We need to stay focused on righteousness. No matter what happens in the world, we're living in the day of apostasy. It's only going to get worse as far as the world is concerned as we study the scriptures and we understand the end times. But the warning of judgments is recorded, and we need to look to it to be able to be an encouragement to do right. I love verse 9, and this is really the focal point of what we read and what we're going to be preaching on this morning. Verse 9, the Bible said, "The Lord knoweth." Almighty God is an eyewitness to everything. God sees everything. He knows what's going on inside of your mind. He knows what's going on inside of your heart. He knows what's happening in the world. He sees everything past, present, and future. That's the God that we serve. That's the God who has written down and preserved his word for us, that we might have his holy word, which is a great need for the end times as we face apostasy. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. That's a reality. So we find here that God is working today in the midst of apostasy, in this 21st century apostasy. God is working in the midst of this, knowing what is to come. And he's written it down for us to know what is to come. He sees the godly. The godly are the saved who desire to live and do right. I would hope that everyone in this congregation here this morning would say, that's where I want to fit in. Saved, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and I have a desire to live as to please him. And in pleasing God, that's the right thing to do. But the Bible says here, he knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. He sees the unjust. So who is the unjust? It's all the others. He breaks it all down to the two, the godly and the unjust. The godly, no doubt, would be the saved who have this desire to live and do right. And then the unjust would be even sometimes the saved that are turning away from God. There's going to be a day of judgment even for the believer that has rejected and turned away from living as God would have you to live. But mainly we find here it would be the lost, but it would include all the others. So Peter presents this warning of judgment to come. Understanding that God is an eyewitness to everything, the godly and the unjust. God's plan of judgment to come. He has a plan. And it's been recorded. Matter of fact, if you would look over to chapter 3 of 2 Peter, we're right there. Peter presents a lot, but verse 10, I want to focus on this just for a minute here. But the day of the Lord, that phrase, the day of the Lord, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works there that are therein shall be burned up. Now, Peter gives a little bit of insight of that, but the understanding here, what the phrase I want you to focus on here is the day of the Lord. When we study the scriptures and we reveal what we see what God has revealed to us about judgment and the end days, the day of the Lord takes in much. The beginning would be the rapture. The rapture would be the beginning of the day of the Lord, or the beginning of what's going to take place for the judgment that he is speaking of in chapter 2. It begins with the rapture. And as born-again believers, we have been taught, and I trust that you understand this as well, that we ought to live today as if it will be today. Because Jesus came and revealed to us that he is going to return. And the day of the Lord is when before he returns, he's going to, first of all, call the church up. There's going to be a great rapture that will take place. Matter of fact, he even presented this to the disciples back in Matthew chapter 24. Let me just read some verses to you here, but write it down so you can study this. But in chapter 24 of Matthew, in verse 10, he says, concerning the apostasy in the end days, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. He's going to try to get Christianity to be against one another. We have an enemy, that's the devil. We need one another to stand together and to fight the good fight, and to continue to be the light in a very dark world that's only going to get darker. Listen to me. Satan is going to try to get you to be offended by one another and try to get us to focus on the wrong enemies, make us thinking we have enemies that are not enemies. And they shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, the sin of the false prophets, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. That is the key right there. That is why we're still here, is that we might, as born-again believers, be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and get the truth of Christ out. It's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. It's going to become more and more. The false teachers are going to have more of an impact. And we need to stay strong. And so he says, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. And that's the Great Commission. That's what Christ left the church here to accomplish. For a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And then shall the end come, or the beginning of the day of the Lord, which will be the rapture of the church. And he says in verse 44, in this very same chapter, chapter 24, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. This day of the Lord is going to begin. We need to be ready. The day of the Lord beginning with the rapture, and then we find the rapture is going to be of the believers, and we're going to be called up together to meet with the Lord. And in heaven, there's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. For those saved, you have to be saved to be there. And you don't want to miss out on this. And then there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ for the believers who failed to do what God would have them to do. And then there's going to be, at the same time, a seven-year tribulation on the earth. The seven-year tribulation is the judgment of the world. And if you read the book of Revelation, all the plagues and all the judgments that God is going to pour out, all the vials and all the things that's going to happen, you don't want to be here during those 7 years. And the only way not to be here is to be with Christ. Amen? And you got to be saved. If you're saved, you're going to get raptured out. Praise the Lord for that. That's what every born-again believer needs to look to first and foremost. I want to make sure that I'm saved because I want to serve the Lord and accomplish what God has me to accomplish. I'm ready for the rapture by being in the will of God. When the rapture takes place, praise the Lord, I'm going to be caught up. I'm going to miss all of the judgment of the earth in that seven-year tribulation period. After the seven-year tribulation period, there's going to be a thousand-year millennial reign of Christ. 1,000 years. Righteousness. Christ is going to sit on the throne here on this earth. And yet after 1,000 years, according to the book of Revelation chapter 20, let me read that to you, but Revelation chapter 20 in verse 7 and 8, it reveals to us what's going to take place even after 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And the Bible says in chapter 20 and verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He hadn't been cast into the lake of fire yet, eternal damnation, but he's going to be loosed. And the power that Satan has, even after 1,000 years of righteousness, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Sand of the sea are going to be deceived by the devil even after 1,000-year millennial reign. If he's that powerful then, he's that powerful now. And the only hope we have not to be deceived is Christ and the truths that he has left for us. That's why this Bible is so very important. Don't let anybody water it down. Don't let anybody take it away from you. Listen to me. We want everyone to have the very same Bible that we're going to preach every time we assemble ourselves together, because we need to understand this is the Word of God. This is what God has revealed to us and left for us. That is a strength to us to know the truths of all things. Understand that, yes, we are going to face a lot of darkness in this world. They're going to face a lot of temptations, but God sees us and he knows how to deliver the righteous from temptations. Just look to him. Don't ever get your eyes off of Christ. Don't ever turn away from the scriptures. So much the more as you see the day approaching. And then we find that God destroys planet Earth. He reveals it. And he turns then to the final judgment, which is the great white throne judgment, which is in the book of Revelation in chapter 20. And this is just what God's revealed to us, and we need to be aware of it, because judgment to come is what helps us to do right. One of the things that will deter us from doing wrong and bad behavior is the reality of judgment to come. Not only will it help you to turn away from the temptations of bad behavior, but it will also encourage you to do right. And so there's going to be this final judgment after the earth has been destroyed. Then we find that God is going to meet with all of those that had rejected Christ. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged. There is going to come, this is the final judgment. Every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. Wow. The warning of judgment to come. Knowing of what is to come allows us to face what's happening today. I trust that I went through that very briefly, but it helps us understand what is going to happen in the future. God has revealed it to us all the way to the very end of times, when the world will be burned up and there will be the final judgment. And then after that, there will be time no more. Time is going to be, was designed by God for humanity. After the final great white throne judgment, there will be no more time. And hallelujah, praise God, we have eternity in a new heaven, a new earth, glorified bodies. And only God knows exactly what that entails. And yet, it's something that you cannot ever have too high of expectations for. I love it. God doesn't reveal all that, but he reveals enough to realize that you cannot have too high of expectations of heaven. In this earth here, sometimes we have too high of expectations of people. Sometimes we have too high of expectations even from God. Expect more than what God has revealed that he's going to do. Expect more than what people are able to give. You can't have too high of expectations of heaven. No matter what, the greatest thing you can think about, it's going to exceed that. Yeah. And that's how God wants us to be mindful of that. But before that, there's going to be judgments. So knowing judgments to come allows us to face what's happening today, and not to be deceived by false teachings, by the devil, who is the ultimate enemy. So go back to our text. Everybody following this morning? Because the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. There is coming that. We need to be aware of that. So knowing of the judgment to come, then if we look over to chapter 2, verse 1, because this is what's happening in the earth, this apostasy taking place, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false prophets, false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. Don't let that happen. If you understand what God has revealed to us concerning the judgments and what's happening in the future, God sees it all. And so he says, I want you to be aware of this, because if you're aware of this, then even though there's going to be false teachers, that is the beginning, and that's what's going to lead to this apostasy. You don't have to be deceived. Don't allow it to happen. Don't allow anything to get you to deny the Lord, the teachings of Christ. Churches today, because of the pressure of the world, are denying the doctrines of Christ. They're denying what Jesus Christ established for Christianity. They're denying biblical homes. They're denying biblical marriages. They're denying biblical morality. I could go on and on and on. And understanding the judgment to come, they are going to be judged, but for the righteous, for those that love God and want to serve Him, we can't allow the world to dictate our doctrines and our beliefs. It's taking place today, but you don't have to give in to it. Verse 2, it says, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. The truths that were established by God are going to be evil spoken of. That which is good is going to be called evil, and that which is evil is going to be called good. Pernicious ways. Having a harmful effect, speaking evil of truth. Don't let anybody take your truth away. Amen. We're here to represent truth. What is truth? The Bible, the teachings of Christ. Don't be afraid to share that with anyone and everyone. Because God knows how to deliver you if you're doing it. Amen. Yeah. Verse 3 says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Merchandise of those who want to do right and live right and serve God. That make merchant to use you for their personal benefits. Religion can do that. So many things. Would love to use you instead of allowing you to know the truth and live the truth. So with that mind and saying that, then he gives us verse 4 through 8, which was our text as well. Verse 9 is what we focused on up to now. But verse 4 through 8, Peter writes for us, God wants us to know that we are to learn from history that God will judge. And he gives us three different examples here, which again, if we are aware of a final judgment, if we are aware of impending judgment to come, it will help us to do right. Angels. He starts out with there because that's the first judgment. Revelations in chapter 12. Let me just read it to you. Write it down. I want you to go back and study these verses. But Revelation chapter 12 gives us a little insight into what Peter is writing about here. In Revelation in chapter 12 in verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. The Bible reveals a little bit to us about what happened before mankind. There was this battle, the war in heaven, and there was Lucifer, and then the third part of the angels following after him, and God judged them because of their ways, their evil ways and their selfishness and all the sin that was taking place in their own lives. And if he judged the angels, we can have confidence that he's going to judge as he says he's going to judge. He kicked out of heaven reserved for eternal hell, that great white throne judgment. See, eternal hell, Gehenna, hell was prepared by God for Satan and his angels, and yet all who fail to receive Christ will follow them into this eternal damnation. It's real. The reality of hell ought to keep you from, and me and whoever else, from wanting to live however we want to live. It's a deterrent for bad behavior and it's an encouragement to live right. Amen. He gives us another example, verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. That's history. That's reality. Today, understanding that this world was destroyed with a flood, God records it for us. Genesis in chapter 6, this is what the Bible says about it. And Peter writes it down for us to understand it and follow after it, to know it took place then. If it took place then, if God judged the whole world then, he will judge the whole world again. Although it's not going to destroy it with water by flood, but it will be destroyed as by fire. In Genesis in chapter 6, verse 5, Genesis in chapter 6 and verse 5 through 7, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, a lot like it is today, a lot much like it is today, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the of his heart was only evil continually. There's more evil minds today, and they're only getting worse. With everything at your disposal, Satan using whatever, I know that things can be used for good, and Satan can use them for evil. It's not the internet as much as it is the evil on the internet. We can use the internet for good, amen? We started live streaming. We can't stop it now. Because we have people all around the world watching our services live. Our missionaries, on and on and on. There's so much. It can be used for good, but it also, the click of a button, pornography. And evil stuff that's going to mess up your head if you're not careful. And the only way to be careful is to stay away from it. And God sees it. If God sees it, then God will judge it. You can mark it down. God will judge it. Yeah. The wickedness of man was great on the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. It still grieves him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the earth, for it repenteth me that I have made them. And God brought the flood, judgment. And that's what Peter's talking about. Learn from history, God will judge. He reveals to us, he judged the angels. He judged the world, the pre-flood humanity. And then verse 6 through 8, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. You afraid to preach on that, preacher? Should you mention that? Is it Bible? Am I a preacher of man or a preacher of God? Is the Bible God's holy word? Do we only pick and choose what we want to pull out of it and believe and apply? No matter what the world does, no matter what the world thinks, the Bible is the word of God. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example, an ensemble. An ensemble is a living example. How they were living their lives is an example. Ensemble unto those that after should live ungodly, ungodliness, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, For the righteous, that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The judgment of unnatural human relationships. God made sure that it's revealed there for us to know. If he brought judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah, he's going to judge it in the world that we live in today. It is coming in his time. The judgment of unnatural human relations. Genesis, let me just share with you exactly what the book of Genesis reveals to us about this. Everybody follow me this morning, man? It's just Bible, right? We're preaching the Bible. Genesis in chapter 18. Genesis in chapter 18. We're almost done right here, so follow with me as we conclude here. But Genesis 18 and verse 20, it said this, as God revealed it to Abraham. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, much like it was in the pre-flood, much like it is today. Yeah. Verse chapter 19 and verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord, from God, out of heaven. Not only did he judge Sodom and Gomorrah, but what Sodom and Gomorrah had done for Lot. The Bible says in closing here in verse 8 of our text, for that righteous man, what made Lot righteous? He knew God. And yet he stayed in this environment. He knew God. And yet this environment did this to him. In seeing and hearing. And it affects our society the very same way. It affects our world the very same way. Especially when these things are promoted. For the righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Not saying that he partook of this, but his presence vexed to plague, to torment, to afflict, to trouble, a loss of peace and joy. It has the same effect today for anyone who wants to live godly, for anyone who believes in God and wants to worship and serve Christ. So I'm bringing it together. The purpose 2 Peter chapter 2, a warning of judgment to come. All need to take heed to this warning and know that God knows how to deliver you when you take the stand for righteousness. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. What am I saying this morning then? What's the Bible saying? Stay focused on him. The church is going to come under attack. It will. It already has, but it will get worse. But God will deliver as God seems fit to deliver. Don't let anybody take away your truth. Don't let any false teachings deceive you. Stay focused on God and his word and be the light that your family, your friends, your coworkers, your world needs you to be. Because as a believer, you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and the world needs your witness. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Not an easy message to preach, but a needed message to preach. And it is presented in love as truth from an almighty God who is and will continue to see and prepare judgment for. Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And pray, God, that it would take root. God, we would receive it as you would have us to receive it. And God, allow it to work in us as a deterrent for bad behavior, but also as an encouragement to do right and be the light that you'd have us to be. Bless in the invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.